Now to him who is able to do immensely more than all we seek, we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We're gathered together today to celebrate that God is at work in Eastern District and in Eastern District Conference and Franconia Conference. And we are delighted that you are here today to celebrate that. I was privileged to attend a workshop, as many of you also were privileged to attend a workshop this morning. And I saw God at work in one of Franconia Conference and Eastern District's conference-related ministries. And it's amazing to me the way our conference-related ministries reach out into our community in ways that are really inspiring. God is at work. I have several announcements. One, a Bible. Ertel, could you pick that Bible up there and wave that? There's Bible. We're not sure who owns this Bible, but if it's yours, please come up and get it, because it sort of showed up and we don't know who owns it. Second little comment I have is in regard to Penny Power. Last year, our conferences raised together, Eastern District and Franconia Conference, raised $10,000, and that was matched by a donor, so it totaled over $20,000. This year, the target is $15,000, and the donor will also match up to $15,000. So make sure you take your Penny Power jug with you before you go home today. They're sitting out along the hallway. So again, it is good to have Eastern District and Franconia together today for the second time in a year in a row to celebrate the work that God is doing among us. I would like to suggest that as we go into a time of conferring, we might want to try to not have everyone from the same church sitting at the same table. If you could kind of intermingle, would be a good thing. If that doesn't work, it's okay. No heavy-handed recommendation here. But if you could just sort of try to find a table that that includes somebody you don't know, I think that would be a good thing. And we are grateful that Pennview is willing to let us use their facilities for another year. And Bob Rutt, the executive director of Pennview, has a few words of welcome.
Thank you, John. On behalf of the Pennview Christian School Board of Directors, administration, faculty, staff, and students, we want to welcome you, give you a warm welcome to our campus. It's great to have you here through the discernment of God at work, the celebration of that time together. Pennview Christian School is an Anabaptist Mennonite school. We are serving 550 students in early childhood through eighth grade from about 100 different congregations in Bucks and Montgomery counties. We embrace the Confession of Faith in a Mennonite perspective as our theological foundation, and along with Christopher Dock and Quakertown Christian Schools, we nurture children and youth, the church of the future. If you have any particular needs, any special needs, just let us know. We'd be happy to make sure that we've done our part to make this work for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob, and we appreciate the use of the facility. We want to recognize our guests. We have guests from MCUSA, representatives and staff. If we have any guests from MCUSA, representatives or staff, could you please stand up? Very good. Very good. Thank you for being here. At this time, we're going to have a word of prayer. God, again, we just thank you for the wonderful God that you are, and we just love you, we appreciate you, and thank you for all the things you've done for us. We remember those who have lost homes and lost loved ones as well in this area in recent weeks, and we just thank you for bringing wholeness and soundness and peace back to their lives. We also just want to say that we want everything here to give glory and honor to you, and we ask that you continue to show us how to do things that please you. In Christ's name, amen.
We will continue our time of worship together. by spending some time dwelling in the text, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. You will find this on an orange sheet of paper in the center of your tables. So take a minute to make sure that these are passed around. Irvin Stutzman, who is the executive director of Mennonite Church USA, will lead some conversation around this text. I invite you to stay for our evening worship, which begins at 6:30, to hear some sharing from our congregations and also from Irvin. What we're going to do is we are going to read this text in each of our worshiping languages, so in four different languages. We're good. And after we do the readings, we're going to take a moment of quiet for you to just spend thinking about the scripture, rereading the scripture, and then Irvin will come up and lead us in some questions that we will engage with each other around the table. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Kounia, nou pral tande version créole la. Éphèse 3. Oui. C'est pour ça. Moi tombé à genoux devant papa. Qui baille toute famille dans ciel là ak sous la terre non yo. M'a mandé bon Dieu pour li ban nou d'après richesse pouvoir li. Force ak courage nan ke nou. Par moyen pouvoir Saint-Esprit a. Pour nous ka grandi nan caractère nou. Pour Christ là rete nan ke nou ak confiance nou gen nan li a. M'a mandé bon Dieu pour nous pousser racines. Pour nous chita bien ferme dans remain. Pour nous ka comprendre ensemble avec tout peuple bon Dieu. J'aime remain Christ là l'âge, j'en li long, j'en li fond, j'en li haut. Oui, moi mandé pour nous arriver qu'on est qualité remain Christ là gain pour nous. Toute personne pas jamais ka arriver qu'on est net. Comme ça, na vinn plein net à tout ça qui dans bon Dieu. Toute louange c'est pour bon Dieu parce que à pouvoir travailler dans nous il est capable faire plus passer tout ça nous commander puis plus passer tout ça nous mettre dans l'idée nous oui toute louange pour bon Dieu dans l'église là à dans Jésus-Christ pour tout temps et pour tout temps amen.
Efesus 3 ayat 20 dan 21. Itulah sebabnya aku sujud kepada Bapa, yang daripadanya semua turunan yang ada di dalam sorga dan di atas bumi menerima namanya. Aku berdoa supaya Ia menurut kekayaan dan kemuliaannya menguatkan dan meneguhkan kamu oleh Roh-Nya di dalam batinmu, sehingga olah imanmu Kristus diam di dalam hatimu dan kamu berakar serta berdasar di dalam kasih. Aku berdoa supaya kamu bersama-sama dengan segala orang kudus dapat memahami betapa lebarnya, panjangnya, dan tingginya, dan dalamnya kasih Kristus. dan dapat mengenal kasih itu sekalipun ia melampaui segala pengetahuan. Aku berdoa supaya kamu dipenuhi di dalam segala kepenuhan di dalam Tuhan. Bagi dialah yang dapat melakukan jauh lebih banyak daripada yang kita doakan atau pikirkan. Seperti yang ternyata dari kuasa yang bekerja di dalam kita. Bagi dialah kemuliaan di dalam jemaat dan di dalam Kristus Yesus turun-temurun sampai selama-lamanya. Amen.
Efesios 3. Por esta razón me arrodillo delante del Padre, de quien recibe nombre toda familia en el cielo y en la tierra. Le pido que, por medio del Espíritu y con el poder que procede de sus gloriosas riquezas, los fortalezca a ustedes en lo íntimo de su ser, para que por la fe en Cristo habiten sus corazones. Y pido que, arraigados y cimentados en amor, puedan comprender, junto con todos los santos, cuán ancho y largo, alto y profundo es el amor de Cristo. En fin, que conozcan ese amor que sobrepasa nuestro conocimiento, para que sean llenos de la plenitud de Dios, al que pueden hacer muchísimo más que todo lo que podamos imaginarnos o pedir, por el poder que ofrece eficazmente en nosotros. A Él sea la gloria en la Iglesia y en Cristo Jesús por todas las generaciones, por los siglos de los siglos. Amén.
Ephesians đoạn 3 từ câu 14 đến câu 21. Vì lý do đó, tôi quý gửi trước mặt Đức Chúa Cha, đã đấng đã mọi gia tộc trên trời và dưới đất được mang danh. Cầu xin Ngài cho mỗi người bề trong của anh chị em được mạnh mẽ bởi quyền năng của Đức Thánh Linh, theo sự phong phú của vinh hiển Ngài, để đấng Christ luôn ngự trị trong mộng anh chị em bởi đức tin, và để anh chị em được đâm rễ và lập vững nền trong tình yêu. Nhờ đó, anh chị em với tất cả thánh đồ có thể hiểu chưởng rộng, chiều dài, chiều cao và chiều sâu của tình yêu Ngài là thế nào, và có thể biết được tình yêu của Đấng Christ là tình yêu vượt quá mọi khả năng hiểu biết, để anh chị em có thể được đại tràn mọi sự mà Đức Chúa Trời muốn chúng ta được đại tràn. Nguyện mọi vinh hiển thuộc về Đấng có thể thực hiện mọi sự vượt quá mọi điều chúng ta cầu xin và suy tưởng, theo quyền năng đang hành động trong chúng ta. Nguyện Ngài được vinh hiển trong hội thánh và trong Đức Chúa Giêsu Christ qua mọi thế hệ đến đời đời vô cùng. Amen.
Let's take a few moments of silence just to meditate on these scriptures. I'd like to have you notice the very first phrase which occurs in the English, which says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." So if we don't go back just a little bit further in the chapter, we won't know for what reason it is. For what reason is he doing this? Hear this sentence which he writes. "I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory." Now that's interesting. And it really helps us understand the theme of this passage. Because Paul is in prison, and he's writing to people who are discouraged. Why would God allow the apostle to be in prison when he could be preaching the gospel? So, just meditate for a few moments now on the scripture with that in mind. What does Paul pray for based on that idea? What words stand out to you as you look at this passage? I invite you, after you've identified a few words or a sentence perhaps that just stands out to you here, to turn to one other person at your table and just share what the Spirit has shown you. We'll take a few moments for this. Now, may I draw your attention up front here again? We have a limited time with the schedule here. That's why we're not going to spend much more time with this here. This evening, we'll look again at this passage, and indeed, I have a lot that I'd like to say. You'll hear some of it this evening. I'd like to have you think through, what does it mean to see the juxtaposition here of two words that we don't often use in the same sentence, but they're used over several times here? Power and love. Power and love are put together here in ways that I rarely hear them spoken of. So that's something we want to be thinking about, and we'll look at that again this evening. Another question I'd like to have us think about is, what might have prompted the Apostle Paul to write these words? Did he have any experience of power and love that would have him writing in this way? Or what might be the barriers which keep us from asking or imagining the things that God would release to us? This evening we'll come back to look at some of those kinds of questions. But for now I'd like to pray with you as you begin your conference, your joint conference assembly. Let's pray together. We give thanks, loving God, that you have released your power among us by the presence of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray for the release of your Spirit gathered among us today, as these two conferences come together to deliberate, to tell stories, to listen for your voice, that you would indeed strengthen us with power by your Spirit in our inner being, so that we might more fully comprehend who you are and what you have called us to be through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Good morning again. Afternoon. Again. This is truly an exciting time for us as we think together of what God is doing with and in our two conferences. My name's Ertel Wiggum, Executive Minister for Franconia. My partner here
on is my Warren Tyson. Good to be with
right,
you.
Right, is Warren Tyson. We have a few minutes to talk about what we've experienced together over the past several years, actually, as Eastern District and Franconia Conference have collaborated. But I want you to first take a look at the rationale for what we're doing. The primary focus of our work, the primary focus and motivation of what it is we're doing, is simply asking the question, what can we do together for the glory of God? We want to keep emphasizing that as the focal point. What can we do together for the glory of God? And what we'd like you to do is just take a few moments and just let that thought and question stir around a bit in your spirit. Our brother read from the scripture about unto him that's able to do more, immeasurably more than we could even ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And so, this is not about economics. This is not necessarily about efficiency. This isn't about anything related to anything else other than what can we do together for the glory of God. It's almost too simple, isn't it? So think about that for a moment as we prepare to go into sharing some of the things that we've done together as conferences. But what can we do together for the glory of God? Think about it for a moment.
What Hertel and I would like to lead us in is a time of remembering the ways in which we have been collaborating and what we would envision might be further collaboration. But we want you to recall with us how God has been present in our midst and how God has been leading us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is what we are appealing to, and we want to be in touch with God's Spirit and that God's glory would be evident as we experience life together and fellowship one with another. Our assistant here, Gay Brunt Miller, is going to help us to walk through some slides that we've developed together and recalling how God has been present. Hertel and I will, I think, maybe give a commentary here or there, but mostly it's going to be what you see projected on the wall. But these are current collaborations of Eastern District and Franconia conferences. How many years have we had shared office space? Quite a number.
And a significant piece that we want to make sure you're aware of, since we've moved to our new offices, Warren has a window.
I am no longer in the dark. The room I was in had no window. But thankfully, I'm in the window.
And so he has a window that he can actually see outside.
You know, that office space provides places where we also communicate one with another. And so the weekly bulletins that are very much the same as what Carla Ferrier sends out from the office. But that's a weekly thing that we are sharing together.
There are regular meetings we have as moderators and executives just to talk about and to brainstorm what it is that we believe God is calling us to engage in. And so we do take time, very, very intentional and focused time, to come together and talk about what it is that we believe God is calling us to do. So we discern often a direction from God.
We thought about what are ministries that we could share across the conferences, and as of January 1st, John Stalsfus is now serving as conference youth minister with paid time in both Eastern District and Franconia, as well as being campus pastor at Christopher Dock High School.
I'm sure most of all of you probably, if not all of you, have probably seen John, but just to make sure, John, can you just stand up for a moment? This is John. Hi, John.
He is willing to come to your church.
Yes, indeed. And you will be seeing more of him and able to interact with him as it relates to youth ministry. Another exciting piece was the decision to call forth a contracted position for a minister of a peace and justice to try to think together as conferences and congregations about the cultural context as it relates to peace and justice. And what does it mean for us today? You know, it's gone beyond just the absence of war. It is more about looking at it at a deeper level, family systems, communities, how we work together and live together as the people of God. And so we're exploring more together about what does it truly mean to be a community that focuses on peace and justice. And what does that mean, and what can we learn from each other? And so our sister Samantha Leoy, I'm not sure if Samantha's here, is one who has been called to contract with us on somewhat of a part-time basis to work at that. And so she will be visiting your churches, or she's been in contact with many of you. But that's a pretty important piece for us as we hold it as a core value of our faith, peace and justice.
And is Samantha here? I mean, just to pause, if she is, we'd like you to recognize her. Okay, thank you. Samantha is willing to come and also lead Bible studies or even to preach in your congregation. For some time, we've been having pastors and leaders breakfast together, leadership resource events. Those of you that are lay delegates here may or may not be aware of that, but the pastors and congregational leaders do intersect with each other at these resource events. Conference ministry leaders, so that you also bring together the conference ministry, the leaders of those ministries from time to time. So thank you.
Joint pastors and chaplains appreciation and spouse appreciation have also been ongoing efforts and collaboration for both our conferences. This year will be a little interesting and a little different in terms of our singing together and our music together as well. We have talked much about what was at one time called the Faith and Life ministry team, and we don't know what the change will be, but the name FLAC just doesn't work for us, actually, at this point.
I don't want any of your FLAC.
No,
right?
My FLAC, right, exactly. Yeah. So we're We're following. Gay just reminded us that it's not following where she is, and that's true.
We do work together well. But,
it's true.
At times we just. I'm here thinking too. Now where is he at?
Yeah, so. It's true. So the problem is that there seriously are so many things we had listed here. We were just thinking about how we wanted to highlight them for you.
Can we walk through them rather fast?
We can walk through them fast so we don't run out of time.
Yeah. Okay. How many of you women were at Sister Care in March of this year? That was an event that both conferences participated in, went real well. Another one that we just had yesterday is
Formation Seminar, orientation for new pastors and credentialed leaders who are part of our conference. And it's been a really good experience for folks to mix it up.
All right. We have been active participants in the Atlantic Northeast conferences, of 8 conferences in the Northeast U.S. here. Frank Canyon Eastern District have been at the table for many, many, many years of that group being together. Since year 2000.
Since 2000, right.
All right.
We've had forums for delegates and other interested persons to be in conversation in March and May of this year about this whole sense of what does it mean to become a Franconian and Eastern District conference team and work together.
In May of this year, we brought the two conference boards together for an evening where we had separate sessions. We also had together sessions. So it was a whole group of us in the conference office there, and a good experience.
And I already mentioned the joint pastors and spouse appreciation breakfast. We also have been partnering and supporting the Gateway Anabaptist Cause for a series of pastors through EMS in Lancaster, helping to shape leadership in a collaborative way so that as leaders move back and forth periodically between our conferences, there's a consistency.
And we already talked about this next frame, which Gabe will put up there, of forming a joint faith and life ministry team, something like that.
Yep.
And last year, and this year, experiencing fall conference assemblies together.
Let me just make a quick comment about the Faith and Life work. The prompt for bringing that back to the front of our thinking was this whole conversation and some need for clarity as it relates to same-sex relationships and so forth. And so while the Faith and Life Advisory Group is not, and I want to make it clear, is not assigned to work at that issue, it was a need that we felt to bring this group together so that we could learn and work together about in ways that would help us to honor God when there is variance, when there are areas where we can't quite agree. So to be clear, the Faith and Life group is indeed one that may touch on a particular issue, but the purpose is not just for that one issue. We need to truly understand, what does it mean to be John 17 people? How do we act like Christians? How do we disagree in ways that we don't disconnect? How do we work at difficult situations? And so hopefully, while FLAC and whatever the group is going to be called will not necessarily come with the magic wand or answer, the need that we felt truly from the Spirit of God is we need to really understand how we are called to be distinctive in ways when it comes to variance. And so we want to truly work at what it means to disagree and not be disagreeable.
All right. Part of our task as leaders is to be attentive as to where God's Spirit is working, especially in communities and redevelopment and sense of new ministries birthing. One of those three congregations that are represented here in the room, Finland, New Eden, and Perkiomenville, have been dreaming and praying together for some time as to what might develop in the community of East Greenville, Red Hill, and what's the other town in the string of towns there, and Pennsburg. Yeah. But they're all just bunched together there on that corridor. And Scott Roth has been praying about this, and the Haven Ministry project is beginning to take shape. Jeff Wright, who functions as church planning coach for Eastern District Conference, has been working with Scott quite a bit and helping to give some shape to it and actually structure. Charlie Ness and pastors of Finland and Perkiomenville have prayer groups that have been forming. And as I heard Charlie recently talk about, and Charlie is here, but for some reason he told her to tell her to talk. But, you know, I heard Charlie saying about, this is something we've been praying about for years, and it's finally happened. And to me, it's just, that story needs to be told as to how God's Spirit does move. And so that the mayor, the school superintendent, the police in that community, they're all on board. And kind of like, whatever you need, you know, we want to make it happen. And they invite Scott to even come into the high school and give an assembly there. And the superintendent said, let them know you're a pastor. And so they just opened the door, and he said he had a number of students come to him after the assembly and wanting to talk. So what God will do there yet, we don't know. That's made possible through Frank Kenya owning the property of former Peace Mennonite Church. I don't know if you have more you want to add or tell to that or not.
No, we had a facility there that had ministered for many years and currently was vacant, and so we wanted to offer that location as a meeting place for this ministry, and it seems to be working out so far. But it was a blessing to be able to take a building that was just vacant and put it to some good use. But let me just add something, one more thing very quickly.
Can I just say about facilities first?
Yeah. No.
Okay, then go ahead.
Yes.
But, you know, it doesn't all evolve around this building, although that's a really key piece. There's a senior citizen center that's saying they want youth to come into their building, and they're making that available. The school is making some facility available, a park that's right near or something. But it's just like other people are making it happen, too. And that's the neat piece that God is working.
So. And the blessing to that also is the fact that as Scott is invited into the school and in these other areas to share, he can preach the gospel. Did you hear what I just said? He can preach the gospel in the school. He can share the gospel. He doesn't have to, kind of watch his words or weigh what he says. That he can indeed speak of Jesus Christ as Lord. And I think that is exciting, that the political system and the authorities and so forth, those persons who are part of the community have come to a place that they're looking to the church to help them to bring transformation. I mean, that wouldn't be their word, I don't think, but that's amazing. That is a work of God. And someone reminded me the other day that this is a result of prayer. This is a result of intentional prayer. There's all kinds of, strategic things you can lay out and maps and graphs and whatever. But the realities are, someone said, this is a result of prayer and claiming the power of God, who's able to do more than we could even ask or think according to the power that works in us. So this would indeed be an example that we could point to. And so I just wanted to say that. I'm reminding what time it is. But, yeah,
You have a stand, so...
But I wanted to say that part.
Great. The other thing that we want to just mention a few things here, and then there'll be a little time for some table conferring. There's been monthly women's gatherings of women pastors. A number of the staff of Franconia have been helping to facilitate that. I was able to be involved in helping to coordinate an intentional interim support and training that we had these 8 conferences participate in earlier in June. But there continues to be a support network that I believe Jennifer Erickson Morales helps to facilitate. Yeah. And so that's a way in which we also resource both of our conferences and help congregations to gain new ground.
Talk about some additional opportunities, joint committee to do credentialing. We're speaking, I'm just moving through this because of time, but we want to think about shared coaching and consulting for missional development. And we've also talked about some joint administrative services, and that would include communication services as well. And so we're looking at how can we combine some of the pieces that we do day to day. And
you'll notice the heading changed for this slide, where it says additional areas of collaboration to explore. Yeah, and so we are pushing out what are ways that we can also get greater synergy or find a synergy of doing things together that have a greater effect than each of us doing it on our own.
Yeah,
and so that's what we seem to be drawn to explore.
We want you to help us think about a couple things. On your tables, you should find a sheet that says...
It looks like this.
A SWOT analysis. No. Does everyone have one copy on the table? Okay. If you don't, we have others we can hand out to you.
Well, we just have one copy at each table. It's just one.
So one copy at each table. We want you to think together about the strengths and weaknesses, opportunities or threats in terms of what are you sensing as we talk about this ongoing collaboration. And we ask that you leave these papers at your table at the end of the day or at the end of this time, and we'll collect them. But we want to give you an opportunity to take a few minutes to think about what would be some of the, again, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we also want to ask you, or to inform you, I should say, that what we've heard is that it would be important for us to have a facilitator to work with our conferences as we think about what does it mean to continue to collaborate together. And let me just be clear on something. By saying that we're thinking about inviting a facilitator in may sound like we've already decided to become one conference. That is not the intent. It's sort of like folk who are thinking about getting married, and even before they get to the point of marriage counseling, they go to a counselor that advises them as to whether or not they even should even get engaged, let alone marry. So that's kind of where we are. I mean, so it's not a facilitator saying, yes, you become one conference, but it's a facilitator helping us work through the understanding of being engaged and how that would work best.
We have some informational slides that Gay will just flip through here. You'll notice the size of our conferences do vary. Eastern Frank County is about almost four times bigger at this point than what Eastern District is. And then we have a geographic spread that goes from Massachusetts to Pennsylvania for Eastern District, Philadelphia to Roaring Spring, and then in Frank County, Vermont to Georgia. Philadelphia to Greensburg, Pittsburgh area.
So, again, take a few moments at your tables, have a conversation about the, going back to the strength.
Yeah, we were just looking here whether we could end with the mission statements.
Yes, we could. We could. Yeah. But we want to make sure you do take time to have that conversation at your table so that we can get some input from you.
How much time do we have, Gay? About 10 minutes. We have, or 13 minutes. Take 5 minutes here to talk to each other. And then what we want to do is invite some way of getting a few little response here. We may walk around with a mic just to get a sampling of some of the feedback of the tables.
Now, please,
take 5 minutes.
Please understand, the difficult thing is we will not have opportunity for every table to respond. So we will be walking around with a microphone and take as many responses as we can that represent your table, but then we may have to cut it off before every table gets an opportunity to respond. So take your time to work on the SWOT. But
feel free to put some notes in there of the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats.
Just make comments on the sheet, and we will be picking them up, collecting them later, even if it's not a SWOT comment. It could be another comment. But anyone else have anything else they'd like to share? I see people pointing at each other, but that doesn't help me. I need to know who's going to share. So raise your hand if you're the person.
Well, I will share, but I will share something that Sharon shared at our table. So if you really like this, she gets the credit, and if you don't like it, blame her. But she talked about the opportunity to kind of move past old stereotypes, that sometimes we think of people from the other conference as fitting a certain mold, and that as we continue to have opportunities to interact with folks, we can see that we really do have a lot more in common than we don't. We can move past some of those old stereotypes.
Thank you. Celebrate our similarities rather than our differences. Anyone else? Anyone else? We have 3 minutes. Wow. So, where? Raise your hand. Okay.
We have kind of a disadvantage because we're all from Franconia Conference, but it occurred to me, and we didn't come up with any dangers, but it occurred to me that if I were part of Eastern Conference, I might be a little bit afraid of being swallowed up and losing an independent voice.
One of the things that we've made a decision on at our last executive session was that every Eastern District constituent would get year supply of Tums so that whatever you had to swallow up, you'd be able to... No, I'm just kidding. But thank you. Anyone else? Do we have about another minute? Where? I'm sorry. Charlie.
It seems to me that as we move forward, that we need to keep a kingdom focus, not just a church focus. It's not about the Mennonite church necessarily or Eastern District of Franconia. It's about the kingdom of God. And that's really what's happening up in the Upper Perk area. It's the churches of that region are coming together, the Ministerial Association and the prayer group, Upper Perk Prayer and Evangelism Network. And it's a kingdom focus where we've corporately died. And when you experience corporate death, then you can have corporate resurrection and corporate power, which results in then the kingdom being extended. And so that's, I think, as I think about Eastern District of Franconia, and I've, back in the 70s, I was working with Choice Books, and the Choice Books Committee was Eastern District and Franconia. So it's for me, it's been a long process. But I just like to keep this kingdom mindset in front of us and not just the church mindset.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something about an ecumenical engagement as well with this whole work, right? Being going. All right, we have one more, and then we have to move on.
Well, after hearing him, I'm not sure that this is what I should be saying, but compared to what the opposite of what was shared over here, there is synergy in numbers. So that's the exciting part, too, of coming from a smaller district and moving into a combined district.
Okay. Thank you very much for your participation and tolerance of our somewhat seemed to be confusing presentation. That was actually Warren's fault. I tried to get him to do something else, but he didn't listen. So let's just say a brief word of prayer, and then Warren will introduce the next part of our time together. Father, we continue to be amazed at your presence in many ways and how you give us opportunities to know that you indeed are walking with us. And you have also prepared the way for us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive and minds that are willing to be not conformed but transformed into the image and into the process that honors you, Lord. Help us to think of the work of the church and how you have truly given us all that we need to be about what you've called us to do. Thank you for all of our brothers and sisters in this room and beyond who have committed themselves to be a part of this journey. We do ask and we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Maybe just to say is Ertal and I are doing a little shifting here. We did appreciate the involvement of a number of you at the spring forums that we had and how God's Spirit brought together people speaking pretty openly and honestly with each other. But a good number of you were at those two events. And so we're trying to build off of that as well and let the feedback that we received at those events inform how we move forward. Thank you. We are going to transition at this point, and if you have your schedule in front of you, you'll see we're moving now into the GPS 2012 report. I had been asked to give a report as one who has been involved as a conference leader. I shared quite a bit of time sitting with some committees as well as being part of a larger review committee. I made some notes to myself here. I'm going to share some introductory sort of wrap-up time and try to explain what GPS 2012 was, and just to keep you sort of engaged, to also share that the three schools that were part of this project, Quakertown, Christopher Dock, and Penn View, are sponsoring a break that will be following this. So it will be food, and so that's just to keep you awake in this mid-afternoon sort of experience. GPS 2012 was a 6-year initiative and result of the first collaborative strategic planning process undertaken by Christopher Dock Mennonite High School, Penview Christian School, and Quakertown Christian School. We come to the end of this six-year process giving thanks for what brought us together as leaders from the three schools and from the two conferences to discern what is educational excellence and how we can enhance that excellence across the region. Franconia and Eastern District conferences had leaders who engaged the GPS 2012 experience in a variety of ways from the very beginning. It should be noted early in this discussion or presentation that the relationship with Philadelphia Mennonite High School remains strong, and that Philadelphia had been invited to be part of a larger conversation some years earlier. As the GPS 2012 came into fruition, at that time, Philadelphia Mennonite High School felt they would be better served to consider the needs of their patron families in an urban context while staying in relationship with the three schools. As the three schools, we very much validate the work of Philadelphia Mennonite High School, while the other three Mennonite schools work together to develop a collaborative shared vision. GPS 2012 process began in February 2006 with a meeting of the board executive committees, chief administrators of the three schools, as well as representatives from both conferences. A planning approach was finalized and a timeline was determined as a strategic planning council was convened to serve the project as the project managing team. GPS 2012 was part of a reaccreditation process for all three schools. Parts of the strategic development process were adapted from validating the vision, an accreditation guide developed for faith-based schools. A theme was chosen of boldly opening doors to Christ-centered Mennonite education. GPS 2012 would serve as a blueprint for the three schools, alongside congregations and the two conferences, to realize a bright future for Christ-centered Mennonite education in the tri-school area. In May 2007, a strategic plan began to be implemented. A collaborative implementation team, which would then become known as the CIT, and a goal team for each of the four goals of the GPS 2012 was formed. The four goal teams were connections, accountability, education excellence, and impact. Clear goals were set for each team, and freedom was given for each team to function and report back to the collaborative implementation team, CIT, that's easier. Keeping in mind the vision of boldly opening doors to Christ-centered mental education, the four goal teams developed unique strategies and initiatives to achieve a particular goal. The Connections goal team had this goal: vision-driven, oriented action-oriented collaboration among schools, families, congregations, and conferences advances Mennonite education in the tri-school area. The goal of the accessibility team was Mennonite education in the tri-school area is more accessible to our core constituents. The goal of education excellence team, Mennonite education in the tri-school area is exemplary in its continued pursuit of excellence in Christ-centered teaching and learning with a defined and articulated Mennonite Anabaptist worldview. The impact goal team said, tri-school community members are recognizable by their Christ-centered impact as pilgrim servants building God's kingdom locally and globally. Strategies and initiatives were clarified and assessed how well each goal team was meeting particular goals they had set for themselves. In summary, the community celebrates the successful completion of GPS 2012's strategic plan. The strategic goals were met. Relationships were enhanced between schools, congregations, and conferences. Leadership provided stability and focus. Tangible products, such as Passing on the Faith and Anabaptist Education and Services, were produced. Those two handouts or booklets are available at the three schools table. I encourage you to pick them up. Professional development enhanced academic excellence and addressed validating division performance objectives. Strong communication patterns were built on issues of accessibility and the Mennonite education plan. The value of Anabaptist Mennonite education was endorsed and affirmed. Resources were provided to congregational and community members. Trust was built through dialogue about challenging issues, and the whole community was excited to see the schools and the conferences collaborate. We will now hear three short stories of how the initiative impact changed lives. Mary Benner will speak about how GPS 2012 affected her church. Bob and Sue Hayden will speak about how GPS 2012 affected their home. And Bronwyn Heaston will speak about how GPS 2012 affected our three schools. Following these three short presentations, the three schools are inviting you to enjoy refreshment at the break as you celebrate with them the completion of GPS 2012. Mary?
I served on the Connection School team during that time, and so in that way, it directly affected our church because I was in the conversations, which was really wonderful. I always enjoyed that team, and I think just the fact that we were intentionally talking about collaborating between the schools and the home and the church was a really powerful conversation, and hearing everybody's viewpoint and where they were speaking from, whether it was a church, the school, or home setting. One of the things that did come out of that that Warren mentioned, we had a sub-team that was formed with Sharon Franson, Marlene Frankenfield, and myself to work on this, passing on the faith, to give congregations a tool to measure and evaluate how they're doing with their pieces. If you sat on Angela Moyer's workshop this morning, talking about the things that are the church's piece to do, and then identifying what's for the home to do and the school, and then having a way of evaluating that and changing it if there's not a home connection that is stable, if they are not in a Christian school, and moving this around. So I would encourage you to pick one of these up and just look at that and see how you can use that in the setting that you're in. The other thing that came out of that is as we were trying to figure out what was important to do, conversations with congregations, not just our congregation, but about 12 congregations were felt to be important to find out what kind of needs the congregations had that the schools or the church or the home could work together with. And one of the things that came out of that were churches, including our congregation, had a need for teacher training. So we sponsored a teacher training event at Plains, and also some people from the Mennonite Publishing House at that time came in with some resources and did a resourcing event here at Penview Christian School that educators and also youth pastors or pastors could come to see what's available and learn how to use those. There was also a collaboration with a group of youth pastors in the area that had been ongoing to have two events a year to resource parents and youth pastors, and the schools through this Connections Gold team decided to join that group and help to sponsor those. So that keeps the ability for us collaborating together with both conferences and the three schools to provide those kind of resourcing events to the community. So, I think that was about it.
Good afternoon. I'm Bronwyn Histon, and I don't believe that the Hayden family is here. I see Bob, and he is by himself. So I will be talking a little bit about the impact of the GPS plan on the schools. I served on the Educational Excellence Goal Team, and I appreciated those connections between the schools and also with other families and leaders among in our community. The GPS plan, in terms of the educational program, focused on a variety of professional development opportunities, action research, and also our accreditation goals. Each school was required by Middle States to have three goals that would be designed to improve the school program. And the schools all selected a conflict resolution goal. And this was a wonderful opportunity to work together as schools on peacemaking. As Mennonite schools, we need to be reminded that Jesus calls us to be peacemakers. And so the schools worked together to formalize this in ways that were appropriate for their curriculum and daily life. At Penview, in the elementary wing, lessons include solving problems the Jesus way, as well as circle time to create an atmosphere of respect. In the middle school, several student council members are trained as peer mediators. At Quakertown Christian School, a bullying prevention program is presented to all students, teachers, and parents. Conflict resolution is also taught in the sixth grade curriculum to all the students. Christopher Dock is incorporating a new conflict resolution course, which is required for all juniors. The goal of this course is to have students develop a philosophy of conflict and to think about and to learn about tools to effectively deal with conflicts that occur throughout life. And through these efforts at schools, we continue to be reminded of our calling as peacemakers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary and Bronwyn, for sharing those stories. As I went to my table, someone asked, what does GPS stand for? Now, we all have GPS units. As I understood, and actually I came into this process, I think, actually after that phrase or that was coined, but it stands for globally positioned students, as I understood it. So that's another memory that you can think as you think about your GPS unit that you put on the windshield. Globally positioned students. I was also encouraged to share that I'm currently serving as chair of the Christopher Dock School Board. So I am somewhat enmeshed in all this here. And it's been a delightful journey, though, to work with the administrators, very strong team of people, and to see the way in which the three schools have found fellowship and are really feeding off of each other and wanting to achieve very common aims. So it was a very good experience. I think I heard all the administrators say that it probably surpassed what they would have expected and that it gained new ground in the sense of understanding each other and common goals. We are a little bit ahead of ourselves, but that will not hurt at all. And I understand we're to be back at tables, if the break is ready, and it is getting ready. So it's all out there. But that you should be back here by 2:20? Okay, John's saying 2:20. Please, be back here in another 25 minutes. All right? Thank you. It's amazing how that works. It is amazing. We learned right as we went into break that Bob and Sue Haddon were very close to driving and they were getting close to the campus. We're going to give them a couple minutes here because we are starting a few minutes ahead of the scheduled time, but we'll give Bob and Sue Haddon opportunity to share how the globally positioned students, GPS 2012, how that impacted their home.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name's Bob Haddon, and this is my wife, Susan. We've been married for 14 years, and we have four children whose ages range from 6 to 11. They all attend Penview Christian School, and we've been very blessed by that. We live in Pennsburg, down the road here, and we're active members of Perkiomenville Mennonite Church.
I'm originally from Philadelphia and attended a Christian school from kindergarten through 12th grade. My parents were very committed to giving my brother and I a Christian education. It was important that the things we learned in church were also taught at school. That Christian worldview permeated through everything that we did, and it gave us an eternal perspective that I'm grateful for today. And that solid foundation made me who I am today.
I grew up in Delaware County and I attended a Christian school from grades 1st through 12th. My parents did everything they could to make that education possible for me, for my sister and I. I believe that the strong foundation that I received in those formative years helped prepare me to attend a secular university and then out into the workplace.
For my parents, a Christian education wasn't considered a luxury. It was necessary to mold us into who we were. When our children became of school age, we committed to the Lord that we would give them a Christian education that didn't shelter them, but rather build a solid foundation on the rock of God's Word. And we promised that we would do whatever was necessary to keep them in a place that spoke the name of Jesus daily.
In the Christian school classroom, the teacher can openly teach the truths of Scripture because of his or her commitment, and that commitment compels them into sharing an uninhibited love and service to Jesus Christ. These are the examples we wanted for our children and we wanted them to have. They were Christ-like examples. We see the love and commitment that these men and women of the Lord have for our children.
We want our children to make God the center of everything that they do. Starting with creation, we want the children to see God for who He is, the maker, sustainer, and redeemer of everything. They are able to see God through every subject, not just Bible. We see the children learning to be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks them the reason for the hope that is in them. The education they receive give them an eternal perspective that life doesn't end here, but while we are here, we need to learn to serve and glorify our King. We believe from experience that there is no better way to accomplish this mandate from our Lord than to give our children a Christian education.
Christian education, specifically that provided here at Penview Christian School, has influenced our family for eternity, and we're grateful and feel compelled to sing the praises of a Christian education. Our home, church, and school all speak the same message, the best message of all, the one that brings life. Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us.
Thanks for letting us speak to you today. A little late, but still, thank you.
I was going to say, what happened to Noah, but I see he's here.
I just got word that Verrill Brubaker, pastor of the Swamp Congregation, his wife was injured, her head was injured in some way, and she was taken to the hospital. The word was there is blood on the brain. She's at St. Luke's, I think a second hospital now, and it sounds fairly serious. I don't know if anyone has any further word on that. It's the only word that seems to be available at this time. I would like to call us to a moment of prayer. God, we pray that your caring presence and healing would be with Verrill and Merrilee in this deep time of trouble. Surround them with a sense of confidence in you. Provide for them the needed resources that they are in need of at this time. Bless those who watch over, those who seek to understand the nature of her injury. Give them wisdom to discern well what is needed for the moment. Thanks, God, for your faithfulness in times like this, and we pray that your grace, your love, and your mercy might surround them in every possible way. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We want to invite all of the ministers who received new credentials in this last year to come to the front here. Also invite Nancy Kaufman to come front and also be present. Nancy is now serving as the denominational minister relating to Eastern District Conference and Franconia Mennonite Conference. Thank John, that's okay to share that. We had conversation with Terry Hsu, who is the ministry director for denominational ministry, and Terry signed off that Nancy would begin to relate to both of our conferences. This is a group of leaders who have served in a variety of places, and God has prepared them for such a time as this. It is both Eastern District and Franconia Conference. I see there's one person missing on the stage up here, Roger Schmell. Where's Roger at? Does anybody know? Please, Roger, chair of the Ministerial Leadership Committee, please come front. Nala and I are going to be sharing a list of names here of ministers and introducing them. They will come up in the platform, and the two chairs of ministerial leadership, Nelson Schenck, chair of Franconia, and Roger Schmell, chair of Eastern District's Ministerial Leadership Committee, will be presenting them a towel on the conference behalf. Nala, I left my guide down there, so I wonder if I can look off of yours. No. It's this size, Gay. It's in the folder. Go down. Thank you. Some introductory comments here. The Eastern District Ministerial Leadership Committee, Roger Schmell, Chair, Hunter Hess, Secretary, Hilda Vincis, Mary Lou Simmons, Run White, and I met seven times this past year. The work of the committee consists of reviewing and approving ministerial credentials, approving leadership development grants for pastors and church leaders, and discerning how we strengthen the leadership of pastors and lay leaders in our member churches.
And I might just add, in relation to our theme here, working with the ministerial committee and the calling of pastors, I'm deeply aware of what God is doing among us. And when I look at these group of pastors and how they have been called and the work that has been done, I sometimes shake my head. How could we have imagined that this is where we would end up? And God has moved in some very significant ways, and that always excites me as well. The Ministerial Committee chair is Nelson Schenck for the Franconia Conference. Other members are Carolyn Eagley, Ray Yoder, Janet Panning, Jim Williams, Marlene Durstein, Ken Burkholder, Heidi Hostetler, Mary Nitsche, Urbaldo Rodriguez, and myself. And we've met about five times this past year, with some additional work that we've done with email. With the help of the Credentials Committee, who does interviewing for us, which includes Marta Costello and Mike Durstein and Mike Klemmer, we have interviewed and approved 11 persons for credentialing in the Franconia Conference. We also reviewed our policy for assisting credentialed leaders with counseling fees. We've implemented some guidelines for continuing education. We've looked at implications for credentialing persons not fully documented as citizens. And we're in the process of reviewing our guidelines on who we grant credentials to. You, as congregations and conference-related ministries, have called strong and fitting leadership to serve among us, and we have found much joy and hope in interviewing them for credentials. Today, as we present them to you, we will give them each a towel with the logo and vision statement of the Mennonite Church, USA. The towel is a symbol and a reminder that as credentialed leaders in the Mennonite Church, we are servants first of Christ and then of the Church and of each other. It is a call to lead with vision and hope while we walk humbly before God and each other. It is a reminder to lead humbly with authority. The chairs of our committees will present these towels as we call the persons forward. You may note that in your information or on your table are bios for these individual leaders, at least for most of them, and so there's additional information there than what we will give this afternoon. The Franconia Conference has presented one person with a license for a specific ministry, and this is for Joyce Huntsberger, who is not able to be present today because of a funeral. She is director of children's ministries at the Salford Congregation in Hardeesville. She's a member of the congregation, and if you've heard her tell children's stories, you would understand why she's in this calling. We have in the Franconia Conference several new persons who were licensed towards ordination. The first of these is Josh Myers and his leadership minister, if you would come forward, who is serving on the pastoral team at the Franconia Mennonite Church as minister of preaching and teaching. Josh is a local resident. He has chosen to be a part of the Anabaptist Mennonite community, and we are grateful for his presence with us. He loves to communicate the gospel. It's a very high priority for him. The next person is Franco Salvatore. Franco is the pastor of the Rocky Ridge Mennonite Church in Quakertown. He first came to Rocky Ridge as a short-term bridge pastor, but in the process of their pastoral search for long-term, at one point it became clear that Franco was the person that they were seeking, and after careful review, Franco was called, and he has been a blessing to that congregation. Joy Sawatsky. Joy is a member of the Plains Congregation and serves as a chaplain at Souderton Homes, part of the Living Branches. Joy has been in the serving in a number of ministries here in our area for the last few years and has been in the process of credentials. We recently placed her as a chaplain and gave her a license towards ordination, and we welcome you, Joy, on that journey. Chris Ann Swartley. Chris is a part of the Doylestown Church, Associate Pastor of Spiritual Direction, to help that congregation on its journey on their missional journey. And she was recently called there. She has been well equipped with some training and experience, and we welcome you, Chris Ann. She is licensed towards ordination. And the other one is Chris Wint. Chris is an associate or assistant pastor at the Finland congregation. Chris could not be here today because of a wedding. He just begun a few months ago. He is a member. He was a member of the congregation that they called out to assist John East in the leadership of that congregation. He is a delightful young person who's come out of industry but has a passion for the church and a passion for discipleship and following Jesus. And it's a delight to have him as a part of our credentialed leaders.
We now look at the category of ministers who have been licensed for 2 years toward ordination and have been approved for ordination, some already receiving, others ordination service yet to be. Bernard Sejour is pastor of the Solidarity and Harmony Church, located in Philadelphia. Bernard has started this church from scratch, please confront Bernard. And about 3 years ago, planted this church of a Creole-speaking community. A number of his members are with him today. Graduate of Heston's Pastoral Ministries Program, also is quite familiar with travel back to Haiti, helping people who are yet victims of the earthquake in Haiti. The congregation was able to purchase its first building earlier this year in Philadelphia with a loan from Everence, so have to get that in there as well. We are delighted for how God is continuing to use Bernard.
We ordained two persons in the Franconia Conference this past year. One of these is Connie Detwaller from the Lakeview Congregation in Susquehanna to co-pastor with her husband Blaine in that congregation. But while we were in the process of this, they were called to the Franklin Conference in the Marion Congregation. And that is where she is with her husband co-pastoring there today. The other person is Rose Bender. Rose is pastor of the Whitehall Church, north of Allentown. She's part-time in the congregation and also director, I'm not sure if that's the right title, of Zuma House, which is an interesting experiment as well in the Allentown community. She is a school teacher by training and has turned pastor and with much passion and energy, and we're glad that she is a part of us.
Then we have several ordination transfers that we want to recognize. Today we are welcoming L. Roy Bender as a new pastor at Upper Milford. Roy actually will be installed yet in some weeks ahead. And so we are looking forward to Roy coming. A number of years, 17 years, served as pastor at the Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church in Lancaster, but has consented to become pastor at Upper Milford Congregation and answered a prayer over a committee that worked very hard and long, and feels like God has opened a door and is blessing us.
We've had two transfers into the Franconia Conference. Gary Lloyd, who is pastoring the Providence congregation. Gary comes from the Atlantic Coast Conference. He had been a church planter in Phoenixville, not far from there, prior to this, and we're glad to have him join. Gary he makes ice cream. You can talk to him about that. But he's more passionate about the church and the care of the church, and it's delightful to have him as a part of our conference. The other person who is transferred in is John Stolzfus, who is a youth minister for Eastern District Conference and for Franconia Conference, as well as campus pastor at Christopher Dock. John is a member at Plains Mennonite Church, and because he's a member in the Franconia Conference, we are carrying his credentials in this shared responsibility. And we're delighted to have John a part of this. He brings a great passion for youth and good experience, and we are thankful for his presence.
And the last person of ordination transfer is Jeff Wright. Welcome, Jeff. Jeff has been engaged as a new church development coach and consultant for Eastern District Conference going on about 3 years now. Jeff has been making monthly trips in from California, providing coaching by phone as well as checking in. Jeff transferred his membership and his ordination from Pacific Southwest Conference to Eastern District Conference. Jeff also serves as the executive director of Urban Expressions North America, a ministry that relates with Stuart Murray in England. We'd like to invite Nancy to come now and to share a prayer of blessing commissioning for these ministers, and knowing that Nancy has probably handled all of their MLIs, she knows these people and now has put a face to the name, but Nancy has been doing a wonderful work serving in our credentialing process. We want to invite the ministers, if you would, to go down and disperse yourself around the room. We will stand and then lay hands on these individuals.
Yeah, gather around them wherever they come, as Nancy then leads us in a prayer.
I would encourage you to disperse yourself, maybe not all in the same area. But then as they get positioned, if you would just stand and lay hands on them. And Nancy, you're welcome to share any other comments you'd like to.
I will say in my prayer that God loves the church. God does give us all the resources we need to do the work that God wants us to do. And a part of those resources are to acknowledge individuals who have ministry skills and then for the church to tap them on the shoulder and invite them to do ministry. And then it is also our responsibility to pray for them and to support them. So this is an exciting time whenever a conference does recognize a number of individuals who have ministry skills. Let us pray. God, you are over all the church, your church. You have invited us to join you in your work. You gift us all and call each of us to a piece of your work, including some to ministry. We recognize as a faith community that you have called these newly credentialed and transferring of credentialed persons into ministry. We pray that you will bless their life and their ministry. Send the Holy Spirit's presence, gifts, and guidance. Grant each one grace to fulfill their calling. May they grow in their faith and knowledge of you. May their life reflect Christ and Christ's ways. Protect them and fill them with your love, courage, and energy. And then I invite these individuals to receive this scripture from 1 Chronicles 28:20 as a blessing to you. Be strong and of good courage and act. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord God is with you. God will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Bless you. Amen.
I want to prepare now to receive some update information on the Peace and Justice Committees. Part of that I shared earlier when Warren and I were together. It is a time for us to really, again, take a look at how we can be relevant in our particular context as it relates to peace and justice. And so Samantha Leoyagin, who is our contract to Peace and Justice Minister, has been getting around the congregations and has some opportunity to preach. She is actually going to be at Norristown and will be leading a winter Bible study series. But continue to think about ways that you can connect and contribute to the work. It is, at this point, a one-year, I'm not going to call it an experiment in terms of the collaboration of the conferences, but at this point we've agreed to work at it through the coordinator for 1 year. One of the things that will be important in this work is that there be some serious discernment and thought given to having peace and justice coordinators in each of your congregations, having people who feel a call to represent the ministry and work of peace and justice, and those persons would be somewhat of a consulting group for us as a conference, or for us as conferences, as we move ahead in peace and justice. And so be praying about the role of coordinator and who would be called to that ministry and what you believe in your particular context would be important for us to consider as we continue to move forward. At this point, we have our Peace and Justice Committee, who will be coming forward for a presentation, and our sister Samantha, one of those persons, if you don't know who she is.
I guess just so everyone knows, this is Jason Hedrick of Eastern District 4, and he heads the Peace and Justice Committee. He's our chair, and I'm Samantha. We have a tradition in our Peace and Justice Committee of the two conferences of awarding a peace mug each year to someone who has clearly followed the way of Jesus in joining in God's unfolding gift of reconciliation. This year's selection process was particularly meaningful for us as a committee as we planned to honor our friend and colleague, Becky Felton, who with our support had recently let go of her responsibilities with the committee as she chose to enjoy fully as possible the life and the time that she had after she realized her cancer had advanced beyond the possibility of recovery. Becky passed from life among us a week ago Friday in her sleep, and this morning many who love her were gathered at a memorial service at Blooming Glen, and folks are still around tables there now, and so we won't be able to give the mug to anyone from Percocet. They're not able to be with us this afternoon, but in the coming weeks we'll present it to them as a congregation.
The Peace and Justice, or the Peace Mug, is awarded to a person who has been involved in peace and justice work for a long period of time, or worked at educating, advocating, organizing for peace and justice and reconciliation, or has modeled a Christian lifestyle of peace and justice, or who has been a founder or leader of a church peace and justice organization. And I could put Becky into any one of these categories many times over, and so it's a very easy decision to award this to her. And both Eastern District and Franconia Conference are recognizing her for her work as the Peace and Justice Committee really is a collaboration between both conferences, and her work spanned both of them. But what I want to say about Becky's commitment to peace and justice, for me, she was a pillar of the Peace and Justice Committee, a mentor, someone who created space for me to learn and grow when I first started serving on the committee, and then even more so when I took over the role as chair and had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I never felt like I didn't belong there when I was talking to Becky. Her life modeled what it meant to work for peace, to consider those who are marginalized, both within our community and outside of our community, to take time to listen to those people who had differing viewpoints, and to challenge them to grow in their faith and to take action and work towards peace and justice. Mostly, I think of Becky as a friend, and what better way to work for peace in the world than to be friends with somebody.
Those who knew her well describe Becky as a champion of peace and justice, at peace with God, at peace with others. She served officially as secretary for Percocet Mennonite Church and on our committee as treasurer and registrar for our yearly peace retreat. As many of you know, she put in a lot of work to pull that together each year. But really, because of her broad understanding of issues of peace and social justice, these roles, these titles, don't communicate her presence and her leadership, both in her congregation and among us on the committee. She was aware, compassionate, proactive, a friend, mentor, and role model. Knowing Becky really just a short time, I quickly appreciated her sense of humor also, because really, it's pretty easy, especially maybe for us peace folks, to take ourselves too seriously. And Becky, just by who she was, steered us clear of that. Also, her pragmatic questions and her focus on taking specific actions was really indispensable as a balance to others of us who are a little more idealistic, focused on the big ideas. So it was really a fruitful balance. Vision shaped by planning, careful attention to detail, And as I think of Becky's amazing efficiency and her ability to get huge amounts of work done and be friendly in the process, I'm humbled, and I'm just reminded how deeply we need each other as we go about joining in God's birthing of shalom in the world. So really, while we feel now at this moment a deep gratitude as a committee for Becky's work and her example and her playfulness and her way of nurturing peace among us, I'm not sure that we know how much we're going to miss her.
Becky's life was devoted to living out her call to follow Jesus. When I learned that donations for her were being directed to MCC or Christian Peacemaker teams, I couldn't help but smile a little bit and cry, because that just summed up who Becky was so well. To try to find words to sum up her commitment seems like an impossible task. It's more appropriate for me to make a personal commitment to live my life in a way that follows what it means to be a peacemaker. And recently I've been dwelling on Psalm 84, and verse 5 through 7 fit really well. It says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn's rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." I too want to be able to set my heart on such a pilgrimage.
Thank you, Samantha and Jason. We have a few public service announcements as we're going to dismiss to our separate Eastern District and Franconia sessions. Things you want to keep in mind, if you have your day's agenda sheet, you would see that the next starting point is a 3:30 start. Well, that's not going to be the case. At 3:15, our delegate sessions are going to start. 3:15. And they will go 15 minutes shorter, or it will end 15 minutes sooner. So at 3:15, we need all the Franconia people to move closer to the front. And the EDC people will return to the room that we met for at your day sessions, room 222. We will return there. So we need to be back there at 3:15. Other things we need to remember, we spoke about food remaining in this area, so we can't take food beyond this point. Things you do want to remember again, remember the penny power jugs for your churches. Please remember to take those, or assign somebody to make sure you take those. And I think we've got most of the announcements here. I think that's it. Okay. You're free to dismiss at this point.